Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin ve salatu ve selamu ala khatamin nebiyyin amma ba'd. Fa'a'udu billahi mineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The Wise Father, Dua of Attar. O Lord of Mustafa, whoever reads or listens to the booklet, The Wise Father, grant them salvation from the sorrows of this world, bless them happiness in both worlds, and forgive them along with their parents without accountability. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Virtue of sending salat upon the Prophet. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever recites salat upon me 3 times during the day and 3 times during the night out of love for me, Allah Almighty will forgive that person's sins of that day and night. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The Wise Father. It is narrated that a man's young son used to sleep beside him on the same bed. One night, the child became extremely restless and could not fall asleep. The father asked, "Are you feeling pain somewhere?" The child replied, "Dear father, I am not in pain. Actually, tomorrow is Thursday, and every Thursday our teacher gives us an exam on all the lessons taught during the week. I have not memorized this week's lessons properly, and I fear that if I fail to answer correctly, my teacher will become upset with me and punish me." Hearing the innocent words of his innocent child, tears filled the father's eyes. He reflected upon himself and said within his heart, "This child only has to answer for 1 week's lessons, yet he is so frightened that he cannot even sleep. But I will have to stand in the court of Allah Almighty on the day of judgment and answer for a lifetime of sins. Therefore, I should be far more fearful than him." O lovers of the Prophet, even today there are righteous people in this world who are reminded of the hereafter whenever they observe worldly matters. Here is another incident regarding this. Fear of the fire of hell. The Khalifa of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Faqih Al-Azam, Mawlana Abu Yusuf Muhammad Sharif Qutlawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, writes in his book Akhlaq Al-Salihin, "One righteous elder, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, was so overwhelmed by the fear of Allah Almighty that whenever he lit a lamp, he remembered the fire of hell and wept. In any case, seeing a child become restless out of fear of failing a worldly examination and then seeing his father tremble with the fear of Allah Almighty after remembering the examination of the hereafter is truly full of lessons. Every word, rather every letter of this incident contains priceless pearls of reflection, and this story invites us all to take heed. If we reflect honestly, we generally fear worldly accountability, but sadly, we do not fear the accountability of the hereafter, even though worldly questioning is easy, whereas the questioning in the hereafter is extremely difficult. Keep in mind that accountability depends entirely upon the will of Allah. He will take account from whomever he wills, and he may admit whomever he wills into paradise without accountability. However, if accountability is taken, it is a severe matter. 5 questions on the day of judgment. The mercy for all the worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, a person will not be able to move their feet until they answer these 5 questions. Number 1. How did he spend his life? Number 2. How did he spend his youth? Number 3 and 4, how did he earn his wealth and where did he spend it? And number 5, to what extent did he act upon his knowledge? Those amongst us who are young should deeply reflect upon how they are spending their youth. If on the day of judgment they are asked, how did you spend your youth? Then what answer will they give? Those whose youth has already passed should reflect even more about how they spent those years. If their youth was not spent in seeking the pleasure of Allah Almighty and according to the sunnah of His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then they should cry in regret and repent sincerely in the court of Allah, because the door of repentance is still open. There is a famous saying, if the one who lost his way in the morning returns by evening, he is no longer considered lost. O lovers of the Prophet, our tongues still function, our intellect is sound, and before death arrives, we still possess the opportunity to repent. Therefore, we should repent immediately. Those who have just stepped onto the threshold of youth and are currently enjoying its beauty and vigour should have mercy upon their youth and spend it in righteous deeds. Remember, very soon this youth will fade away. As for youth fading into old age, very few people reach that stage. Many people enter the embrace of death before their youth even declines and are lowered into the darkness of the grave. Look around your own neighbourhood. How many truly elderly men and women do you see? Perhaps you will conclude that if your area contains 1,000 people, you will find many children, many teenagers and many young adults. But those who can truly be called old may only be 15 or 20 in number. This shows that perhaps only 2% of people reach old age, whilst the remaining 98% enter their graves before their youth fades. Remember, reaching old age is not easy. To travel safely from youth into old age, a person must survive illnesses, major accidents, hardships, and countless dangerous stages of life. Old age is not easy. Dear Islamic brothers, the life of old age is filled with hardships and difficulties. This is why when a person reaches old age, a smile is rarely seen upon his face. And even when he laughs, his laughter often sounds faint and lifeless, with hidden sorrow behind it. Then, as old age advances, a stage comes when for the elderly person, no happiness truly feels like happiness, and no sorrow feels like sorrow anymore, until eventually he wishes for death. In this regard, listen to this deeply thought-provoking incident. The pitiful condition of an elderly woman. Once I, Amir Ahlus Sunnah, went to a certain area of Karachi to deliver a speech. An Islamic brother invited me and several other Islamic brothers to his home for hospitality. There, sitting upon a bed, was an extremely weak old woman. Old age had made her fragile, that the poor woman had shrunk into a tiny figure. Anyone passing by would hardly glance at her with sympathy. Seeing her condition, I felt great pity for her. I paused for a moment to comfort her heart and asked, "Respected elder sister, how are you?" She replied with words that, despite many years having passed, I still remember today, and perhaps I will remember them until my final breath, because they contain a profound lesson for me. In a voice filled with sorrow, she said, I am very ill. Pray that Allah Almighty grants me death for the sake of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. These were her exact words, and even today they still echo in my ears. Praying for death out of distress or in response to grief and hardship is prohibited. That elderly woman must have remembered her childhood and cried over how she used to play, run, laugh and speak joyfully. Perhaps she remembered her youth and wept over the grand celebrations of her marriage. How people admired her, how happiness surrounded her, how her children once served her, and how magnificently she attended weddings and gatherings. Thinking about such memories must have caused her heart to sink, and she must have said to herself, "Now I cannot do anything. I am no longer able to attend weddings, nor even funerals." In any case, for that old woman, neither happiness remained happiness, nor sorrow remained sorrow. She only longed for death. O lovers of the Prophet, life is merrily like a dream or a passing game whose duration is extremely short. Reflect carefully. Perhaps there is hardly anyone whose home has never experienced a funeral, or who has never washed a deceased person, or helped in washing one, or wrapped someone in a shroud, or assisted in doing so. If someone has not done these things, then at the very least, he has surely carried a Muslim's coffin upon his shoulders, attended a funeral prayer, walked alongside a funeral procession to the graveyard, or helped lower a deceased Muslim into the grave. In this way, thousands, or rather millions of people have already completed the short worldly life and departed for the journey of the hereafter. This world is full of lessons. Dear Islamic brothers, this world was created only to perish one day. Whoever is born is destined to die. In this way, the world is filled with lessons and warnings at every step. If one reflects carefully, the lessons begin even before a person is born. How so? When the drop of fluid settles within the mother's womb, the angel appointed over the womb brings soil from the place where the child will be buried after death. And from that soil, the form of the child is shaped within the mother's womb. From this, we learn that even before birth, death has already been decreed, and the soil to which we will eventually return after death has already reached us, as our bodies are formed from it. Reflect upon the meaning of the supplication recited whilst placing soil upon the grave, and you will realize that we were created from soil. Sadly, many people neither know the dua recited whilst placing soil upon the grave, nor the proper method of doing so. Therefore, with the intention of attaining the pleasure of Allah Almighty and earning reward in the hereafter, listen to the recommended method of placing soil upon the grave. The recommended method of placing soil upon the grave. The recommended method is to stand at the headside of the grave and place soil three times with both hands. The first time recite, "Minha khalaqnakum," we created you from this earth. The second time recite, "Wa fiha nu'idukum," and into it we shall return you. The third time recite, "Wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra," and from it we shall bring you forth once again. After that, the remaining soil may be placed using a shovel or other means. the reality of worldly life. O lovers of the Prophet, worldly life is nothing but play and amusement. Allah Almighty says, whilst describing the reality of worldly life, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And the life of the world is merrily play and amusement. Undoubtedly the abode of the hereafter is true life, if only they knew. Whilst explaining this blessed verse, Mawlana Naeem ad-Din Muradabadi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, just as children play for a short while, become absorbed in their games, and then suddenly leave everything behind and depart, likewise is the condition of the world. It is extremely short-lived, and death separates people from it just as children disperse after finishing their games. When a child becomes absorbed in play, time passes so quickly that he does not realize it. Likewise, worldly life passes extremely quickly and ends before a person realizes. Many people remain busy planning for a bright future, but suddenly death overtakes them and they are lowered into the dark grave. Remember, our true future is connected to the grave, a place where we will remain for thousands of years. Therefore, we should prepare for it. The future we consider important today in this world is not our real future, and it is not guaranteed that we will attain it. In this regard, listen to another thought-provoking incident. The death of a young doctor. A man from Karachi, Pakistan, used to earn his living by running a small grocery shop. His heartfelt desire was that his son should somehow go to America, study there, become a doctor, and then return to his homeland to open a private clinic in Karachi, build a bright future, and become a support for him in old age. To fulfill this dream, the shopkeeper finally managed to save enough money to send his son abroad, either by sacrificing his own needs or by borrowing from others, thus in hopes of securing a bright future for his beloved son. He sent him to America. The son completed his medical education there and later returned to Karachi. According to his father's wishes, he opened a private clinic near their home. The father was overjoyed and would think to himself, now my son's future is secure and I have support for my old age. Since the young doctor was still unmarried, the father thought, let him first earn some wealth so that his future becomes more stable and prosperous. Then I will arrange his marriage. After all, what is the hurry? Watching his plans seemingly come true, the father spent his days in happiness. But destiny had something entirely different written. Only 2 or 3 months after opening the clinic, the young doctor developed jaundice. He treated himself with medication, but his condition did not improve. Later, when senior doctors examined him, he was admitted to the hospital. After spending only a few days in hospital, the same young man who returned from America as a doctor just months earlier passed away in the prime of his youth. Later, his father was heard saying sorrowfully, alas, the money I spent on my son's education had not been recouped before my son passed away. O lovers of the Prophet, did you see? The young doctor passed away in the prime of his youth before even reaching the doorstep of old age. Reflect for a moment. What use will his medical degree be to him in the grave? If only his father had made him a hafiz of the Quran instead. than not only his own hereafter, but even the hereafter of his family could have been beautified. Moreover, so much wealth would not have been spent, nor would an elderly father have needed to entrust his son to strangers for education. Unfortunately, this did not happen. This incident calls us to take heed. But sadly, many people hear such incidents and forget them immediately. The situation today is such that it almost seems those who abandon Salah have firmly decided that no matter what happens, they will never pray. Those who shave their beards seem to have sworn an oath that no matter how much the scholars advise them, they will never betray Satan by keeping a beard. And those addicted to films and dramas are determined never to stop watching them. Of course, no one says this openly, but through their actions, many people practically announce, "We have not changed and we will never change." Today, sadly, keeping a beard is considered a flaw in society. May Allah protect us. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, for whose one glimpse we long endlessly, had a beautiful, radiant beard upon his blessed face. A luminous turban adorned his blessed head, and his beautiful locks would sway and touch his blessed ears. Those who shave their beards out of fear of being called a mullah should reflect carefully. The very personality whose kalima they recited had a blessed beard shining upon his noble face. O those who abandon salah, listen. O those who miss the fast of Ramadan without a valid shari excuse, listen. O gamblers, listen. O drinkers of alcohol, listen. O users of drugs, listen. O those absorbed in video games, listen. O those who run video centers, listen. O those who hurt their parents, listen. O those who shave their beards or trim them shorter than one fistful in length, listen. O those who unjustly hurt Muslims, listen. O those who fail to raise their children according to the Sunnah, listen. Leave stubbornness behind and return to the straight path. Remember, if the chain of sins continues and you remain stubborn saying, "We will not pray, we will not fast in Ramadan, we will never stop watching films and dramas," then Allah Almighty and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam may become displeased. Allah forbid. Even one's faith may be destroyed. And if that happens, one may become deserving of the punishment of hellfire. As a warning, listen to a glimpse of the punishment prepared for the disbelievers in hell. Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yawma tuqallabu wujuhuhum finnar. Finnari yaquluna ya laytana ata'na Allah wa ata'na Rasula. قالوا ربنا إنا أطعنا سادتنا وكبراءنا فأضلونا السبيلا ربنا آتهم ضعفين من العذاب ولعنهم لعنا كبيرا.
On the day when their faces will be turned over and over in the fire, they will say, "If only we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the Messenger." And they will say, "O our Lord, we obeyed our leaders and our elders, and they led us astray from the path. O our Lord, give them double punishment of the fire and curse them with a great curse." From this, we learn that whoever abandons the straight path due to the influence of leaders or elders becomes sinful and deserving of punishment in hell. This should especially make those people reflect who say, I am ready to keep a beard, but first I must take permission from my father. If he allows me, then I will keep it, otherwise I will not. Remember the command of Allah Almighty and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, takes priority over the command of creation. We must obey the rulings of Sharia. If not, nothing will remain except regret. Dear Islamic brothers, at the beginning of this speech, we heard about a child who cried out of fear because he was worried about reciting his lesson to his teacher. Then his father also cried after realizing that my child is so concerned about his lesson, yet I feel no concern for the great accountability awaiting me in the hereafter. This world is the place of examination. The preparation we make here will determine whether we succeed or fail in the hereafter. The secret of success. Allah Almighty, whilst explaining to us the secret of success in the hereafter, says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the true word. Allah will reform your deeds for you and forgive your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has certainly attained supreme success. From these blessed verses, we learn that the only way to succeed in the examination of the hereafter is to make obedience to Allah Almighty and His beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, necessary upon ourselves. Without acting upon the commands of Allah and following the Sunnah, salvation becomes extremely difficult. Alhamdulillah, in the religious environment of Dawat-e Islami, the organization of the lovers of the Prophet, we are taught precisely this lesson. Prepare for the hereafter. Do not forget Allah Almighty in this short worldly life, and never abandon acting upon the Sunnah of His beloved Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah Almighty is independent and free from all need. If the entire world were to abandon Salah, it would not harm him in the slightest. If all creation were to fall into prostration before him, it would not increase his greatness in any way. Rather, the benefit of Salah is entirely for ourselves. If we establish prayer, we will save ourselves from eternal loss in the hereafter. But if we abandon it, then severe warnings of punishment await us, and we may become deserving of hellfire. Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Fi jannat yatasaalun. عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نك من المصلين ولم نك نطعم المسكين وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى
in gardens asking the wrongdoers, what brought you to hell? They will say, we were not amongst those who pray, and we did not feed the destitute, and we used to think of vulgarity with those with vulgar minds,
and we used to deny the day of justice until death came to us. O lovers of the Prophet, after hearing these blessed verses regarding the issue of not praying, reflect upon the weakness of the human being. A person cannot tolerate the slightest heat or cold. Strong winds make him shiver. The roaring of storms frighten him. A minor cold or fever leaves him helpless and bedridden. When mankind is so weak, he should immediately fear the punishments of the hereafter, repent sincerely, and live a righteous life. He should humbly plead in the court of Allah Almighty, O Allah, I do not seek your displeasure, rather I seek your pleasure and happiness. I do not possess the strength to endure your punishment. From this very day, I pledge to act upon your command. Aqimu salah, and establish the prayer. I also intend that, inshallah, from now onwards, I will never miss another prayer. An important issue. Remember this important ruling. Merely intending not to miss prayers in the future does not cause previously missed prayers to be forgiven. Those prayers missed in the past must still be performed. And one must seek forgiveness by saying, O Allah, forgive me from the sin I committed by missing my prayers. There is hope that Allah Almighty, through His mercy, will forgive those sins. Such emphasis has been placed upon salah that the scholars have stated, if a person is drowning in water and is still able to offer salah through gestures without excessive movement, for example, if he is a swimmer or can hold onto wood or any support, then salah remains obligatory upon him. Otherwise, if he is genuinely unable, he is excused. If he survives, he must perform the missed prayer later. Do not resemble the disbelievers. Dear Islamic brothers, alongside abandoning prayers, the sin of shaving the beard has also become widespread in our society. Even though the blessed face of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was adorned with a beautiful beard, and he also commanded the Muslims to keep their beards, a hadith states that the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Grow the beard and do not resemble the Jews." Shaving the beard and trimming it to less than one fist are both forbidden and actions that lead to hell. Therefore, repent from shaving the beard or shortening it to less than one fist. If Allah forbid, someone has insisted upon shaving or trimming it short, then he should abandon this stubbornness, considering it a satanic trait, because persisting in sin is from the qualities of Satan. The stubbornness of Satan. Once, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was travelling towards Mount Tur when he encountered the accursed Satan, who was crying. Satan said, "I wish to repent. Ask Allah Almighty what the method of my repentance is." Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam presented this matter in the court of Allah and asked regarding the method of Satan's repentance. Allah Almighty replied, "Tell him that if he prostrates to the grave of Adam alayhi salam, I will accept his repentance." Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam informed Satan, "I have returned after asking about the method of your repentance. Simply prostrate to the grave of Adam alayhi salam and your repentance will be accepted." Upon hearing this, Satan burst into mocking laughter and said, "O Musa, when Adam alayhi salam was physically present before me, I did not prostrate to him. So how can I now prostrate at his grave?" Dear Islamic brothers, from this we learn that persisting in evil is a satanic trait, and Satan's end is such that he is condemned and cursed forever. We are Muslims, and the quality of a Muslim is not to persist in evil, but to abandon it and distance himself from it. Alhamdulillah, every Muslim loves the beautiful and blessed appearance of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. All Islamic brothers should make the intention that from today onwards, the sign of love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, meaning the blessed beard, will never be removed from our faces again. And from this very day, our faces will shine with the sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.